Yes, good morning. This is Wilmer Kaufman with the Morning Devotional. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come before you here this morning. We love you, we praise you, and we seek you here this morning. As we seek your word, and as we seek your word for encouragement and to guide us today, I just pray, Father, that you would fill us with your word, with your spirit, and guide us as we continue on today. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Genesis 3, Chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree, of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Here it says that they were not to eat of the fruit, lest they die. If we go to John 12:24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. But if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Here in Genesis 3:3, it speaks about a dying. In John 12:24-26, it also speaks of a dying. As we read on here, we will see that Adam and Eve did eat, and yes, they did die. They died from that wonderful relationship that they had with the Lord there in the garden. Now in John, in the New Testament, it's also talking about a dying. It's a dying to self. It's laying down our lives for Christ and regaining what was lost there in the garden. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou givest unto me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Here in Genesis 3:13, it speaks of the serpent beguiling Eve. If we go to 2 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him." In Genesis 3:13, it speaks about how the serpent beguiled Eve, and how they did eat. And here in 2 Corinthians 11, it also speaks about a tree that we ought not to eat from, and that is from another Jesus, the word from another Jesus, or from another gospel, or another spirit. So it speaks about being beguiled. The serpent beguiled Eve. And that serpent, the devil today, still is out there to get us to eat from the wrong tree, or from the tree that would lead us to death. Just like the tree there, also by eating from that tree led them to a death. And that was that death, that separation of spirit. They were one with the Lord there in the garden until they ate. And we can have that today too. If we truly have the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be one spirit with him. Being born of the Spirit, the scriptures speak about being one spirit, and we can have that today by dying to ourselves and to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and having that fellowship and relationship with him. However, it does speak about here in 2 Corinthians, it is necessary that we understand the Word of God and that we do not go astray, and to go and preach something other, or to follow a preaching other than what Scripture teaches. In Genesis 3:14, it says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." In Romans, it speaks about bruising Satan under our feet. "Now I beseech you, brethren," this is in Romans 16:17-20. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf, But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Here in Genesis, there was a promise made here. There was a promise made here to Adam and Eve, and that there would be a Savior to come, and that they would, and that this Savior would bruise the head of Satan, the head of that serpent. And we know that did happen when Jesus Christ came. And the serpent, the devil, when he wanted Jesus on the cross, he wanted this Jesus to die. He wanted this Jesus out of the way. But when Jesus died, when Jesus took his last breath, is when I believe that Satan realized his mistake. He saw that this had worked exactly the opposite than what he thought. And this was the very conquering over him. This was the very bruising his head that Jesus died for us all. And here in Romans it says, and we can accept, just backing up a little bit here, we can accept what the Lord Jesus has done. We can accept him as our Savior. He came. He had victory over death, over the grave, and over hell. He was truly that great Passover from death unto life. And we can believe on him in the everlasting life through him. And through that, we can be seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Being seated with him in heavenly places. Not only can we accept Jesus, but also receive him into our hearts. We can again be reunited to our Heavenly Father. We can be one spirit with him. We also, because of that, being born of the Spirit, becoming the Son of God, we can also, as it says here in Romans 16, we can also, many a times, because of where we are seated, we can bruise the head of Satan. Because who we are in Christ and who we, I would just say who we are in Christ. Here it says in Ephesians 2:5, it speaks about how we are quickened together. But when we are dead in sins, here it speaks about death again. And when we die to our sins, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, for by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace to his in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. In Hebrews 2:14, it says, "For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." In Revelations 12:10, I'd just like to stop here a little bit. You know, God has always made a way for those that love him. Even though we are born into a sinful state, we are born separated from him. And as life goes on and sins in our lives just pile up and the separation just gets greater and greater, he still has made a way. He has sent his son to die for us. He sent his son to open up the way back to him, for that reconciliation back to him. In Revelations 12:10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren," meaning the devil, "is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," meaning the blood of Jesus, "and by their word, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." In Genesis 3:16, it says, "Here unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." here is something. It speaks about what God said to the woman there, but here again he also brought something very beautiful here. If we can just see it, it seems to me, and statistics show, that even in this world that we live in today, this modern world, even with the women of today in the professional world, in the job world, we could say, out in jobs and so on, statistics still show that there is something that a woman desires, and that is to have a leader in her home, a leader in her life. That is still what a wife longs for. And statistics still show as well with men that they were created to lead and have a feeling of fulfillment when they can lead. Here in Ephesians 5:22, it speaks about that. And this is not to overwhelm the men by this responsibility, and neither is it to belittle the wives as needing to a leader, but it's just the way that God has made it, and actually has made it a very beautiful thing. Here in Ephesians 5, 22 to 33, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Here in Genesis 3:16, God, this is like a punishment or whatever, a sentencing maybe, you could say, or it might even feel that way sometimes. I know in my younger days, I used to look at that. I used to look at what God said to Eve and what he said to Adam, and to me, it just looked like a sentencing or like a punishment, or what goes with that separation from him. But in the meantime, we have a Heavenly Father that looks out for us. He has our best in mind, and he is a master at bringing out beauty from what seems to be ashes. So we have in Genesis 3:16, it could almost look like ashes. In Ephesians 5:22, here it turns it around to be a beautiful thing. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. When I see the things happening here in Genesis and in the Old Testament, and then I see Jesus coming and conquering the darkness, conquering the death, conquering the grave, and conquering hell, and bringing eternal life. Such a beautiful picture here from Genesis 3 to Ephesians 5. Goes on to say there in Genesis 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, for in sorrow shalt thou eat all of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You know, that is still happening today. We need to work here while we're here. We're only here for a short time. Our life is but a vapor, and then our bodies will turn back to the dust from where it was taken. But in the meantime, we have all these beautiful promises where our souls will be. When we believe in Jesus Christ. There are two destinations which we all understand, but through God making a way for us, we can spend eternity with Him forever and ever and ever, all because of Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May God bless you.